Text for today comes from Ephesians chapter 1. I love this text. This is one of the wonderful texts that Paul unfolds for us in the book of Ephesians. So hear now his word. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him, we've obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord. So some of you are great singers, aren't you? You know, in the shower, we're all great singers. I mean, come on. Whatever it is we go through our lives, I want to ask you, what is the song that you are singing day to day? Because almost everyone sings some song. We may sing different songs from time to time, depending on what's going on in our lives, but most of us have one song that it is our song to sing that expresses our feelings about life. Some of you dance to meet life. And your song is going to be something like zippity-doo-dah, zippity-day, my, oh my, what a wonderful day. Others of you, particularly if it's before your morning cup of coffee, might greet the day singing a different song. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. The song you sing makes a difference, doesn't it? It really does. We're finishing up Christmas, and we've been singing a lot of Christmas carols, and that's fun, and that helps. We remember and we sing those old familiar songs. Now we find ourselves at Epiphany Sunday. Tomorrow is indeed the 12th day of Christmas, and we remember the gifts that the Magi brought to Jesus. But the story of their bringing gifts begs the question, what is the song that we bring to God? What are the gifts that we bring to God? Or better yet, maybe even this question, why do we do what we do for God? The writer of Ephesians evidently believes that everything in our lives should begin with and be centered around adoration of God as God. To that I would say a hearty amen. The book of Ephesians is a book that's rich in theology, and it contains constant reminders of the greatness of God's love for us in Jesus Christ. There's one thing Paul wants us to understand in Ephesians. It's this simple truth that God loves you with a love that is beyond your ability to comprehend. But he wants us to understand how that simple truth should be the song that we sing day to day. So let me ask you again. Why do you do what you do for God? Now, if we're honest, there's a lot of answers to that question, aren't there? I suspect our answer depends on what's going on for us at any given moment in time. Sometimes our answer to that question is we do what we do for God out of guilt. We don't like that answer, but it's there, right? Sometimes we preachers are really bad about laying on that guilt thing, you know, because it is there. Sometimes we do what we do for God out of duty. Now, duty's not a bad thing, right? Particularly for those in this congregation who are part of the greatest generation or those that served in the military. Duty's not a bad thing, is it? But I would simply ask, is duty enough? Is it enough to do something for God out of a sense of duty alone? Or is there more? What I want you to see today is that God has blessed us in amazing ways. Did you hear it in verse 3? We've been blessed in Christ. We've been blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Now we need to wrap our minds and our hearts around that today. There's not a single blessing in life, in Christ, that you have not already been blessed with. You know that I tend to be a bit of a smart aleck from time to time, right? We've spent enough time to know that. And so one of the churches around the corner in Oklahoma from my church was Full Gospel Baptist Church. And we were having a conversation one day. And Pastor and I were friends. And I said, Joe, I said, I got to be honest. The name of your church bothered me just a little. Are you saying that I only have part of the gospel? He said, well, Wally, that's exactly what I'm saying. Oh, I said, well, what about Ephesians, which says, I have already been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, my Lord. To which he said, well, I have to think about that. To which I said, I'll be expecting a name change any time. Which he did not. We have been blessed beyond our wildest imagination in Christ Jesus our Lord. Did you hear it in the text that I was reading? God is at the center of that whole passage. Verse 5, it's of His will. Verse 6 and 7, it's of His grace. Verse 9, it's of His good pleasure. Verse 11, it's of His purpose. Verse 12, verse 14, it's of His glory. Verse 18 and following, you see it again, of His calling and of His power. Throughout the passage, our eyes are focused and riveted on our sovereign God who meets us in the course of space and time. We have already been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord. But much of our trouble in the modern church and much of our trouble in society as a whole is that we rivet our eyes not on God, but on self. We are so subjective. We're interested in ourselves. We are an egocentric society. If you question that, just listen to the ads that are on TV and in the news. The old McDonald's slogan, you're so special. You deserve what? You deserve a break today. Wow. Or the old, I think it's Preference by L'Oreal. You need to buy that shampoo because you owe it to yourself. Did you know that? And we are so bombarded with all of that that we forget, hey, it's not about us. This is about God, and it's imperative. It's imperative as we move into a new year that our eyes be riveted on God, but it's equally imperative that our concept of God be an accurate picture. How many of you have ever been to Chuck E. Cheese? How many of you have been to Chuck E. Cheese without the kids? Yeah, none of us. You don't go to Chuck E. Cheese for the fine dining. Apologies if you own a Chuck E. Cheese or been associated there, but it's not the quality of the pizza that brings us there. It's the games, right? And one of the games they have, it's a tabletop, and I think it's got 6 or 8 or 9 holes in the top of it. It's called Whack-A-Mole. And man, I love to play that game. And it starts out slow and a little mole pops up and you get to whack that mole with a hammer. And then another one pops up and whack, you get to whack that one with a hammer. And then as the game goes on, man, those moles are popping up faster and faster. And you're just whack, 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 whacking everywhere you go. And it struck me that for many of us, that's our concept of God. God is waiting for us to mess up, to stick our heads out, just so he can whack us on the head again. Now, I got news for you. That's hard to love a God like that, if that's your concept of God. And so the writer of Ephesians is painting a different concept. And his picture of God is not a God that's waiting to whack you on the head. It's a God that loved you before the world began. It's a God that has lavished on you every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a picture of a God who was at the center of it all. The Westminster Confession begins by asking us the question, what's the chief end of man? And the answer is the chief end, your reason for existing, is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. It's not about us. It is all about God. So if our purpose is to glorify God, what on earth is God's glory? In the Hebrew and the Greek, both words carry the idea that the glory of God is His nature. It is His character. It is who He is. And because it is His nature and His character and who He is, we are reminded in Scripture that we cannot add to God's glory or diminish God's glory. God's glory is what God's glory is because God is who God is. His glory was revealed through creation, right? The heavens speak of the glory of God, and we go outside and we see the wonder of creation. And we are reminded that our God is a glorious and a powerful God. The glory of God continues throughout history as God unfolds His glory to people in different settings. We have Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and they got to walk with God in the cool of the evening in the garden. Can you imagine that? Wow. Then God showed Himself to Moses on the mountain. The glory of God was unfolded in the temple and in the tabernacle. But in the fullness of time, the glory of God took human flesh. John says it this way. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. But then did you know this? The glory of God is seen in the people of God, in you, in me. Isaiah would say it this way, they are my people, and I created them to bring me glory. So if we cannot add or subtract from God's glory, how is it that we can bring glory to God? I would suggest to you, it's not that complex. If the glory of God is His nature, who He is, if the glory of God is His grace and His love and His mercy and His holiness and His justice, and if that's what makes God glorious, we glorify God when we as His people let those attributes live and shine in us and through us. I don't know of a day when it is more important for the church to be the church than this day. Everything comes from God alone, Paul writes in Romans. Everything lives by His power, and everything is for His glory. So as we move into this year, we need to ask ourselves every day, where in my daily routine can I become more aware of God's glory? What is the song that I need to sing in my life this year? Now, can you imagine? Can you imagine the impact if all of us lived songs of joy and praise? What impact if you opened up your newspaper and as you read the headlines, you sang a song of joy and praise? What an impact when you get on Facebook, you respond with songs of joy and praise. What an impact when you meet your neighbor on the street and you respond with songs of joy and praise. Outrage we see all the time. Righteous indignation, we know well. Cynicism, that abounds. Aloof boredom and apathy are the choice of many. Numbness and skepticism are the stock and trade of our culture. But when was the last time you experienced or participated in unmitigated praise and joy? Now, folks, I know we're Presbyterian. And as Presbyterians, when we get excited, how do we show it? We tap our toes. I'm talking about unmitigated praise and joy. I hope this. I hope as we move through this year, whether you are shouting on the outside, you are at least shouting on the inside, and you let that joy shine out, because that is a way that we glorify God. As we lift our hearts to God and respond joyfully, God, we're lifting our hearts to You this day. And then let us move into the world singing joy to the world. The Lord has come. Amen.